I'm recording now, so, you know, again, like, we can cut. It's not straight to publish. So I don't know, like, I met you for the first time at the Skibus meeting, where Ale introduced you as someone new on the team, in a way. And unfortunately, I missed your presentation on Skibus personas, which I thought was an interesting idea to think about. Like finding a way to imagine your users rather than following up on bugs. And
I kind of thought Peter Sicking did this 1 or 2 years ago for GIMP. So it's still kind of a present theme. People know about it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it.
What? You didn't think of it?
Doing a presentation on personas.
Because for
me it's really just a small part of my job. Something that you do normally in the beginning of a software project, and then those personas are there, and pin a picture of them at behind your desk or something like this. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Let's take it like this.
Yeah, but so you say this is something you do to sort of start an interface design project?
Yes, normally. Not every project I do, we have those personas. For example, one project I do, we don't need personas because we have actual users there. So having natural users is better.
Okay, so it's not like you. The persona, in a way, is a figure of speech to replace the actual user.
Yes, and make kind of an ideal user, like one that's not that picky and doesn't have strange wishes.
So you have more clear paths. So yeah. Then, okay, let's then the details. So we need to somehow zoom up to them. So can you say a bit about your background?
Yes, I did study interaction design at the Zetodeco. I know it has a name in English, but it's something like Zurich's School for Design and Arts. Yeah. So I was quite new when I started there. It was like, 10 years ago. And apparently it still exists. There's still coming students out of it. And when I started, it was not really clear what an interaction designer is supposed to be when they're finished. So most of the people I studied with, they work now in different fields, like for example event design or lightning or web stuff, project management, so it's a really wide range.
But you think like the field in the meantime has much more consolidated? If you would start studying now, it would be more defined?
Probably not. But I guess they now know better what they're doing.
So then you didn't end up in theatre design?
No.
What happened then?
Then first of all, I went to Bonn, which is near Cologne, and did a kind of internship at the Fraunhofer Institute, because I have really interesting projects and do research.
I'm just going to push security.
About 5 months when I did this, and after this I went back to Zurich and I found a job at Knows Design AG, which is for Zurich a pretty big design agency, which is specialized in branding. And they have actually about 10 persons who are specialized in interaction design. Well, so some of them are more into coding, some of them are more into concepts.
And your role in this team?
Depends from project to project. Like at the moment for this SBB, Swiss Railways project, I'm doing like really a lot of stuff. It goes from requirements management to drawing mock-ups, writing concepts, talking to the users. So we're kind of stuck between the business management guys and the developers and the users.
Okay.
So my role is kind of if I make those drawings where I visualize the interface, it makes easier for people to understand how it will work afterwards. So it makes the easier to talk about things.
Nice. Images that make it easier to talk about things. That's
yeah. That's important. No, about features. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say like this.
Because that's an not an easy work, I think, to somehow communicate where you would like something to happen. Especially if I see free software projects where such a thing easily becomes a feature request. So you need something to communicate. I'm not asking a good question now. What I'm trying to... Okay, so let's just follow the path. So at some point, you came into contact with free software or with Skills in particular. How did that happen?
Yes, it happened like this. I've been to Transmediale for several years. I don't know if you've been there. So got interested in the Creative Commons, and how they are treated, because in Switzerland it's not that well known among designers. Through that, I attended a mailing list, and the guys who are responsible for Creative Commons in Switzerland sent a mail like, hey, we're doing no open meeting, everybody can come and attend and have a look at it. So I did attend there, and it was like, hey, brilliant what you are doing, but it's too much towards law. Half of those persons were lawyers, and it was all about talking how to adopt the whole creative concept situation to Swiss law, because Swiss law is different than American law, and so, yeah. So this is nothing for me, but Ole was also attending this meeting, and we started to talk to each other. Yeah. And Ole is doing this once in a month Sunday meetings where he presents and works with open source graphic software.
And
so. And he kind of took me to Brussels last year.
Thank you. You have to come.
Yeah.
Nice. So you started to... were you using any free software at all at that point?
No. No. I'm still not that big of a user. It's just because I work in a big company, and it would make... things difficult because of the data formats.
And so then you were invited by someone of the team or of the how did your discovery of Schemas go? Like you were installing it on your own computer, or how did you start to understand the state of the thing?
I don't really know how you mean this, because as an interaction designer, I always think or have the imagination that I can use every software. So I just installed it and tried it out, and I kind of see all the usability issues it has instantly. It still has it, yeah, but
so yeah.
It was not like open it and explore it for months to find everything out. It was more like, okay, yes.
I can see. Can you give us a sort of what I was trying to ask for was like your when you for the first time started looking at it. I mean, obviously you look at it as an interaction designer, not as a user. You make that very clear. or that's a particular kind of use. What was your impression? How did you respond?
I responded that, well, if you start to use it, it does everything good, in a good way, in the right way. But the user interface is kind of a mess. Yeah, let's put it like this. But so all we have to do is to clean up.
Because that's that was your sort of analysis. I mean, I imagine you have many detailed responses to it, but the user interface is messy, so it's about cleaning up.
Yes, but it's always my job to clean the interfaces up. So normally I do this before they're programmed, but in this case it's programmed and I can now clean it up. That's a basic part of usability, cleaning things up to make them consistent and understandable.
And is it different then to do it at this point in the process? Like, how does that change your work?
It changes communication, I guess, because if you do something like this on the really early stage of a project, there are no programmers involved, or not many of them, or just architects or something like this. And then you can really work with the programmers to get the thing started. And as far as I experience it, they love it to know some guides. I'm supposed to do it, make it look like this and this. And I think it's brilliant. But if everything is already done, all the features, it's more like a political thing, because I don't want to stand on anybody's feet. Yeah. So that's the difference.
Yeah, it's a different relationship. And do you think there's any difference between, like, apart from the moment in the process, because that's very clear, any difference between usability or interface design for free software projects and proprietary projects? Do you think there's a difference?
Yes. Big one. Yeah, because like commercial projects, they're not community driven. You have people who decide and close the door, which can be really, really helpful at some points of the project. If something is community driven, like I experienced at Scribus meetings, I can we can go back to the personas. I can present personas and say, hey, look, we have this persona, they have those interests, they work like this, and they need those features. So everybody's like, yeah, we have personas, and 5 minutes later they are going to talk about one small feature which is requested by, I don't know, the cousin of the girlfriend of the mother. So then they start talking how to implement that. So, yeah. Because it's open, I cannot say like stop it. It would be quite rude actually.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's also like the programmers program those features or those bug fixes, those usability fixes. They see the sense to use in it, and they like, and they want to use personally.
Because in a way, you could say
not the ones that are useful for this persona.
Because you see, if I look at how free software developers develop their program, they sometimes or often have very they come with their own
background,
but also with their own usability ideas or mm-hmm. interface ideas that are sometimes very, let's say, are you really cold?
No,
it's still okay.
Just a little.
So they come with their own preferences, and sometimes that's also that leads to very inconsistent but also mm-hmm. very interesting interfaces. Are you enjoying that, or is that just for your professional eye to heart?
Oh, it's also nice sometimes to have little features or really, really useless for everybody, but yeah, somebody just like to play.
And do you think, because I don't know, you followed the last few days, one of the things that have been coming up in a few of the talks was this, and also the excitement of users, and I'm just flatly making users now, but in the room, about the way interfaces could somehow reveal the code behind. So I don't know if you've seen the talk by
Eric.
Yes, Eric talks about it. Christopher Weber of Blender talks about it. Although mm-hmm. that was maybe in the Python meeting. I think you were there.
Yes, Ollie told me about this, but he also did in his talk a really, really short version of it, like. Copying
So this idea that there's somehow two kinds of views, a kind of view source of the actions you do, so that the users would have a way to in a way see under the hood of the interface.
Yes, absolutely. But for me, it's not like seeing under the cover of the interface. It's more like seeing under the cover of the data format.
You mean the construction of the file?
Yes. For example, for Inkscape, it is the SVG, it is the file. It's not something like it's between the file and the interface. It is it. So, yes, I'm really in favor that this is an opportunity for everybody. But this feature needs a mind shift from the designers, absolutely. Maybe in some years it will be normal. The graphic artists are getting used to also have this code view.
Because I think that the designers and the users that show up at the Legal Graphics meeting and generally the designers that are interested in free software mm-hmm. are also the ones that are, let's say, more code savvy. So those are the ones that actually get completely touched by the possibility of moving between canvas and code. So this, I'm asking for a sort of interface design that would be specific for this community. And would this be something that could be considered catering to this specific community?
Mm-hmm. Product like Scree, because it has to be used by both sides. That's why the personas put one persona in who is putting code in it and using some little scripts to enhance the features, and the other persona is just using it as a traditional book creator.
Do you
so
think?
I didn't code for a while, but now at another project I have at work, well, I still don't do it with it's open source software, but the tool I use is really divided into, you have the view how it will look, and you have the view how the XML behind it is, and it really helps to understand the behavior of the interface afterwards, because the interface is not like a strict thing, like a picture changes on screen sizes, it changes on resolutions, stuff like this, and you cannot understand this from a single picture.
Yeah. Do you think with interfaces often, because this is an idea of an interface that's less, that is permeable?
What does it mean in English? that
you can see through, that it's an interface. Often is a way to protect. I see interfaces often being designed in a way that users are protected from seeing the code. And what we're getting excited about here at LGM is interfaces that actually permit to have both. Have access to the code as well as a more intuitive or fluid.
Yes, I think this would be like a great future. This is also the thought about behind the having data formats which are open. So when you're allowed to see at the data format, then you should really see it instead of copying it.
So do you think that, because I never thought so clearly about it as you now express it, in a way that the openness of the data format also asks for another kind of interface to it?
Yes. I think so, yeah. The only question is I'm really in favor of the people using such interfaces see XML code and can change it. But scripting is another thing, because it makes it more like intelligent. So I don't know where to make the cut, how much to give the user to the interface. So it's clear, like in Scribus, having possibility to add little Python scripts is great, but I don't know whether we should push it to give them to the like classical typographer. So I don't know what this person would get of this.
So someone that is more like a conventional designer, would they actually use such an interface? But I mean, in a way, what you're trying to, what I think you're trying to say is,
I was thinking about this because, as I told you, in the near future, I'm probably going to do a concept about integrating EPUB in Scribus, and integrating EPUB in Scribus. This would mean I would allow like traditional designer making an EPUB, which sounds really reasonable, but on the other hand, making a website at the moment, most designers just draw the image of the website, and some web designers or web programmers are going to really code it. And EPUB is nothing more than HTML. So I know that Adobe is pushing it to this direction that the designer can do everything, which is for me like the paradigm it was 5 or 10 years ago with Dreamweaver, which also has this kind of view where you can see the code and the pictures, but the difference is it made really ugly code, so nobody would use it anymore. But in the meantime, those programs are able to generate nice code. So maybe it's now possible to go back to this Dreamweaver paradigm.
Well, if I look at the story editor in Scribus, I always, every time I open it, I dream of it being like Dreamweaver, even when that would be a code. Meaning that almost is almost begging for a code view, you know, markup there, because it's so close. Would that be, is that something you would consider, or you would be?
This text editor is a little bit of a, I don't know, lost child anyway. So, so I don't know if it's a good thing to use it to change it for a coding view, or just leave it beside and make something completely new.
Other question is, I don't know if you've been following the discussions around GIMP and redoing the user interface and whole sort of user proposals and for GIMP to change.
No, was it like recently? Or?
It's been going on for a while, but and it's still actually quite active.
Okay, Abra, was it like after Peter Sicking turned everything upside down?
I don't know. I would know. I mean, I only started to follow it after hearing Michael Terry talk, who will also talk tomorrow. I think that's good. It'll be very interesting. I hope you're interested in his work, because he worked on user data specifically for interface, let's say, community-driven interface design in GIMP. So I'm curious about your this we're going to talk science fiction, because I think the Scribus community is far from organized in a way that would work. So I ask you.
So I really think if there's going to be something like a community-driven user interface, you should branch it.
What do you mean?
You should kind of leave GIMP as it is, because it's like I don't know, 90% solution. For 90% of the users, it's perfect. Now, our 10% are going to mess around with the interface. So they can do this. It's no problem. I like it. but leave the other 90% alone. Because those 90%, those are the ones who are just using it and not screaming around like, I want this one. I have another special wish. Yeah.
So if you think... would that be? Would that require a refactoring of something like Scribus to allow different interfaces to happen on the same program?
I don't know. Maybe it takes something like. Well, we heard the speech before about context. This is just about formatting text, but I could imagine it. In interfaces, something like this is also possible, that you not only take out the styles of the user controls, but you also take out like the effects and how is it formed together. If you have something like this, then your users could make their own like additions, or they want to use it. But I don't know anything like this yet, but it would be brilliant. Like you have a toolbox. And make it yourself.
And do you think through redesigning interfaces, because you have like four free software you're starting with, you're working on Scribus right now, you will have probably done many more projects, the kinds of views have changed? Meaning, what is the relation with the way a tool is used and the way the interface is done?
Like from 10 years ago, or what do you mean?
So okay, let's say
I would say the differences between one project and the other project is the bigger difference than between now and 5 years ago.
I think I didn't ask the question.
No.
Right, I try again. I mean, let's say like in your experience in the can be different projects. do you see after like a redesign of an interface, you also see a shift in the way the application is used?
Yes, of course. If you want people to use this feature more than the other, you put it on top. It's like really, it's not rocket science.
No, but
yes, of course. That's why we talk for hours about having this button on the left side or on the right side, because we have to think of all this. Cultural presets we have in our minds, and yeah, if we wanted to attract other users or want to use it in another way, of course the interface is really a strong tool for doing something like this. But not for me, the best thing is if we like tailor it to the perfect user. So like it's perfect fit. And no, not only to the user, but also to the processes, how the user is supposed to use the software.
But for example, if we look at like you've listened to the comments from people doing LibreGraphics magazine, mm-hmm. and what struck me was that they are speaking of a workflow that I think 5 years ago I could not have imagined. Cross time zone, cross continent, cross discipline, cross language, and all to produce one single object. So, how is this this kind of changing of workflows? Like, how do you make an interface that allows for workflows to
difficult, because conservative views on doing software is like find out the workflows before. If the workflows change afterwards, you kind of have a problem. So the probably the classical way of avoiding this is to make small chunks of software. And not like this huge thing, like I don't know, Outlook, where everything is in it. And if you have small chunks, you can change the connections, so you can change the workflows.
Interesting. And how does this idea apply to something like Skillist? Is there
this would, for example, apply to Scribus if we are going to integrate EPUB in Scribus. Maybe we don't even do it in Scribus ourselves, but just write the script for export function. So it could be a piece of code itself, so not to enhance the. Because if you look at InDesign, it grows bigger and bigger, and one day will explode, kind of.
And would you agree that the range of personas in Scribus is, let's say, more vast than in InDesign?
Yes, because we put this computer fancy young artist in there, and she likes to code. This is possible in InDesign as well, apparently, but it's. Oh, it's kind of something that's also possible, but it's not the main goal of it. Yeah.
But well,
that's what we had a discussion about in November in Paris as well. If you say you want to go in the other direction than InDesign, this could be the solution, like really pushing those code stuff.
But there's another kind of use. I think InDesign is not really catering for is the amateur publisher, which I find interesting. Is that Scribus always has carried on with both the professional but also the amateur, which is a different kind of that's quite a stretch between
Yes.
And I think it's a larger stretch than most than the Adobe Suite would sort of target for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Adobe doesn't stretch for the amateur, not at all.
So how
but,
does that?
But it's really clear because they won't get any money from them. So. Yeah, in Scribus I asked the same questions, and I was talking with Peter and Louis and so, and they all said, yes, we want the professional, please, please. But then, so I did the professional guys for the personas, and again, 10 minutes later, the community thing kicked in, and they talked about making fancy shadows under typo. So,
Look, we can also dream a bit. No, but I'm just when you talk about like part of my fascination for legal graphics community is the potential of to as a designer be part of the development of the software that structures my workflow.
Yep.
That's the potential. So,
yes. It's a really different approach. For my work, as I'm used to how it works with usability, I never ask users what they want. Don't do this. But I also ask them what they need. It's a big difference. If you ask them what they want, they're going to say, oh, I want a button on the left top side, I want a drop down here which says that's this and this, and I want this and this. And as soon as you start to talk with them, you find out the problem is really much deeper, and they're just trying to find a way around the problem. So they don't solve problems, but they're making the interface more bigger and more complex. So I think lot of people are able to make this switch as well, I think, especially designers, because they're used to think visually in the processes. So yeah, here in graphic software, I'm not that afraid of this happens as I would be in other community.
I understand. But it would be interesting, yeah, to think, yeah, that's interesting. I have to think about this before. No, but with this sort of wider user range, plus the fact that the community wants to be involved in an efficient or a productive way or not, that's wants to be involved in defining those workflows.
Yeah.
It seems that modularity is really essential.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yes, of course. Yeah, maybe we have to distinguish between the interface and workflows and features.
How do you do that? Can you?
Yeah, a feature is like somebody who says, "Hey, for my work, I need something like drop shadow under my title." So the program knows how to program it. No user would think about telling the programmer how to do this. So it's just, hey, I want just this shadow there. So, and the interface, it's just saying it's the button on the right, top, left, or the feature has this name, and you can access it like here, 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 and here. So the interface is not the feature itself, the feature is like separated from the interface.
Yeah. But to speak about workflows, that is interesting.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much in favor if people start talking what features they need and what workflows they need. But in the end, saying I want it to be done like this and exactly like this, I don't know whether this helps or not. It's like going into the code of the programmer and thinking, oh, I can do it better like he can.
Sometimes. Okay.
Yeah, of course it's easier because it's something visual as well.
And maybe a last question, because it starts to get dark and the moon rises. What is your time plan with this? Like, is this something that you will work on for the next month or for the next 5 years? Or how are you thinking about this?
Yeah, I'm thinking short terms. Like, now this EPUB concept thing, I should finish it till December, I guess. Because I'm working 100%, so it's just... on Saturdays or something. Yes. Yeah, and for Scribus I also cannot work that much as I would like to. So as I see it myself at the moment more like as a counselor and not the super active contributor. But as long as I'm in this position where I can say, hey, I'm just helping, I can talk with people and but not producing documents and pictures all the time. So I can do this for years, because it's not that time consuming.
Shall we stop then? I think this may be what we do is...